Hello, welcome.
This is AdaBots, the award-winning system for connecting a bot inside a voxel world with a real integrated development environment. And we use this for teaching. I use this in my household for teaching our children, but it's also excellent for teaching adults, anyone who wants to learn Ada. I can, of course, highly recommend it. So what is AdaBots? It is programmable bots. In a voxel world. Originally, it was using Minecraft, but then I switched to using Mindtest, which is now rebranded to Luanti because it's open source. It is programming with AdaBots is visual 3D problem solving. You encounter something in that world with your children, with your students, and then you try to think about programmatic solutions to that. Like you get stuck in somewhere down deep where you can't get out. You can get your bot to build a staircase up and walk out. Maybe your child wants to build a house, you can do that. Anything you can imagine, you can use as a programming challenge for your children. It's also real software development, as in you connect these bots to a real IDE running a debugger with Git version control. It's not like visual drag and drop things, it's real code. So my teaching goals here is, first of all, I want to do this because I got frustrated with there's so many systems out there for teaching children how to code that actually teach you a very specific domain-specific language, and you then have to translate your skills into real programming once you want to do that. What I also have found frustrating about other systems is that they were often this walled garden where you kind of had to trust someone on their word that they're not going to, you know, kind of rug pull or increase the price on a closed source project. So I wanted from the beginning to build all this up as open source components so that the community can help, and so that you can rest assured that the system will still be working the same way 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line. Freedom is important to me, also inside of AdaBots. So inside Luanti, you have your own private server. You can walk around and do anything you like to do. I also really wanted to make an environment I could feel comfortable with my children interacting with. So I didn't want something with that glorified violence. I didn't want the focus to immediately be on you're going to be making a game. I wanted to have more freedom to allow the child to learn a real programming language and then start applying it to real problems. I also, as a parent who homeschools, I also realize it's really important to have a system that you just open it up, you just go to the website, and you don't have to do all of the setup yourself as a user. So it's a plug-and-play system. Thanks to having a code editor that works inside your browser and also a Luanti client that works inside your browser. Okay, that's the introduction, what AdaBots is. I'm going to go into a little bit of background. Where did I come from? How did I come to these ideas? And then I'm going to show you a demo. And then I'm going to talk more about the principles and, of course, why I chose Ada as the programming language for this. And finally, a roadmap of things to come. This is me when I was 8. I was coding. I wasn't coding here. That came later. But I love that powerful feeling of entering a command into a DOS terminal and just seeing it instantly executed. This wouldn't have been possible if it wasn't for my father knowing what these commands meant. And later on, when we got Linux and it came on a CD, it was great. And my mother showed me more of that. So I was very privileged to have two parents with a lot of technical background. Years later, fast forward to I'm a teenager, and my brother and I were really doing our best to waste our afternoon. We had a Minecraft server, and we loaded this mod called ComputerCraft on it. And it makes these bots inside the world, and they can move around, and they can place blocks, and they can mine. And before long, we weren't doing anything by hand anymore. Because, you know, why go through all that arduous process of going down into the mines and mining things and placing blocks when you could just write one program and then go to sleep, log off in an hour, or the next morning you come back and the whole structure is built. So here we have a maze built here. And if you were at FOSDEM 2 years ago, you might have seen some of these mazes because then we had a stand and we challenged people. A lot of children came through as well and were challenged to get their bot outside of the maze. You could win a little prize for that. But one thing I really didn't like about ComputerCraft and still don't like about ComputerCraft is the interface to programming. So this is how I was programming these bots. You have just this text, Lua code, which it does duck typing, so it's not strict at all. It doesn't check anything for you. You just have to make sure that you know what you're doing. And you have to scroll around in this little window inside the game of Minecraft. And I thought, well, how can I improve that? You know, it was really difficult being a Minecraft mod where you had to edit jar files in there. And this is already very good for what it is. But a few years later, I was at Ada Europe, and I was able to participate in a remote I/O tutorial by Philip Muntz. And this is a great software project that solves a kind of similar problem. At least I realized I could apply his solution to my domain. His problem was he does a lot of embedded programming, and you have this chip that you want to run your program on. But first of all, you have to cross-compile and then upload to the board. And then if you want to debug, you actually have to connect two little wires to the JTAG, and it's really complicated to do that. So what Philip thought of, and what I'm calling fetch, evaluate, execute loop, kind of like a REPL. It's like a REPL, but it's two different systems. So you have on the board, you have just this super simple little program that's just asking for an instruction and then executing it, and then sending back over the, in this case, over USB and paint line onto the computer. And then on the computer, you can have your whole dev environment, including a debugger, and you don't need to build anything for specifically debugging on the chip. So check out libsimple.io if you want to do I/O programming in Ada, because it makes it a lot easier. You can also take the same program and just compile it with a different implementation backend and upload the same program to the board itself. So that so for development, you have a quick cycle where you can just edit and run, but then you can use the same code to deploy. So I realized that I could do exactly the same in Luanti. I also realized I weaned my dependence on Microsoft products a little bit by moving to an open source, lightweight C++ clone of Minecraft. I'm not getting any dirty looks. Oh, maybe one. There's a Luanti developer in here, and they are not a Minecraft clone. They're a voxel engine. But neat thing is, it's so lightweight, I'm able to actually compile it for the web. And so if you go to adabots.net, you don't have to do any of the setup, because automatically in the background, a Docker image spins up with your MineTest server in it. And in your browser, you can have a MineTest client. Sorry for saying MineTest so much. It's Luanti. It just changed its name this year. So anyway, so this is the architecture. We have a server running, and that contains bots. And those are doing this little fetch, evaluate, execute loop. And then you have a client that connects to that to look around in the world. And on adabots.net, you can have one for each child as you like. And then you have your code editor running on your own machine that compiles a program that runs on your own machine, which sends these instructions to the bot. Anyway, what it makes for, because the children don't understand all of this architecture behind it, of course, but what they understand is that here's a fun, entertaining world where they can all log in and they can see what they're doing, and each one can be doing their own tasks. And so here's a bot next to a tree that has just been cut down. And that's a simple, you know, check if there's wood in front. If so, mine it and go forward, and then start a loop going up as long as you can mine a block above you, then mine it and go up so that you take out the whole tree. And I'll show an actual demo. That's better than just explaining it. So if you sign up on adabots.net, give me some of your money. It's an open source project, okay? But what we do is software as a service, really. We set it all up for you. If you sign up on adabots.net, you get in the middle here a you can add as many students as you like, and you get two buttons, one to open the MindTest world, and that opens in your browser, and the other one for VS Code Web, which also opens in your browser, and they're connected to each other. So here's an empty program shell here, and we're going to run through a non-trivial program without pressing any of the buttons, which is just for introducing the child to what the bot can do. You can just press the buttons. So that in that way, I can start already when they're 5 years old, just understanding the concepts of what we're going to do. But of course, you need to wait until they can read and write and type before you do this. So let's build a bridge. That one doesn't work, but okay. This is the bridge we're going to be building. First, we're going to place a block. We're going to go up and then forward. And we're going to do that in a loop. And you can see that will make a staircase if we put that in a loop. But we only want to do it three times, because if you just do loop, that would be infinite. So we put in 4i in 1.3. Then we're going to build the flat part of the bridge, like this. Again, a loop, just two instructions in there. And when we get to the end, we're going to go down and note that we'd go for 1 to 2, because otherwise the floor is already made there. This entire thing, we're just going to give it a name. We're going to put it in a procedure called pass. That's one pass over the bridge. And then what we're going to do is we'll line up for a second pass next to it. So we'll go forward, we'll go down, we'll turn left, we'll go forward, we'll turn left, and now we're set up to do another pass. I'll skip over that. So now we've done a second pass, we're going to line up, and we're going to make some barriers on the side so that you can't fall off the side so easily. And again, we're going to okay, you can kind of see it moved around. It's just shifted over to the left and up one. Okay. And if you do another pass on top, then we've got our barrier. And all the time when you're doing this, you can just comment the code that you've already run. And you can press some buttons with your child as you write the things in the code to explain what you're adding. But at the end of it, you have a program that does the entire it does the entire bridge in one go. So you can I'll quickly go through why we chose Ada. It's a very type-safe language. It's high level. It's it's tried and tested. I have a vehicle from 81, and it still runs. That means it was built right. And it's the same with Ada. You know, the latest standard is from 2022, but there's so much materials around, and it's got so many of the basic principles right from the start. Like being case insensitive, it's a no-brainer. Having words for everything instead of curly braces. That helps a lot in teaching, because the case insensitivity, every child, when they first write their program, they write it not caring about the casing every time. And it just works in Ada. I've already talked about this, so I'm just quickly going over it. But I'll just say that children don't like to be coddled. They want to really be a software developer. So we let them do that. So we made this safe environment for your children where you can learn, it's plug and play. And we have a lot coming. So I'm just going to open it up to questions since we only have a few minutes left. Yes?
So you mentioned that this real. So basically, the way I understood that is that the code runs outside of the Minecraft server and it interacts probably with like a Lua mod, very simple, that just receives commands. Can the bot detect or like perceive its environment? Because I've worked on like bots that run inside of the client, so it's kind of for like cheating on servers that allow it. So basically, they are able to like look at what's around them and then react to that.
Yeah.
And I think that would probably be like beneficial for this project. One thing that I'm wondering about is if you think that if they can interact or if they can perceive the environment, do you think that this sort of like remote model will be performant enough to allow for like complex bots? Because one thing that I've noticed, even just like between like C++ and Lua, crossing the boundary for every block that you want.
Let me just repeat your first question first. Can the bots perceive the world? Yes, they can. They can look in the same spots that they can dig and they can place.
Okay, so it's very limited.
Yeah, right now it is. It's actually on the roadmap to, right there, third point, is to actually see players and see a long way away. And I have an idea in mind of an expanding cone of nodes that it is able to see. So it can look through air and water, but not anything else, and then it just returns a list of all the objects. Your user program does get very complicated very fast, but of course, I mean, we envision this also being used for adult students, universities, in high schools. I'll also give you here a promo code if you're one of the 200 first people to sign up. This one isn't on the online version of the slides, but it's FOSDEM25. It gives you 25% off your first year. And also, yeah, I'll just say this because the video isn't loading, but my children had a great idea after we built a spiral staircase, and they kept falling off in the middle of the staircase. I said, let's build blocks there. And they had already seen how complicated it gets when you build, because you have to walk backwards as you build above, below, and in front in order to not run into your own blocks, right? So they said, how about we just have four blocks simultaneously dropping sand below them? And that's perfectly possible, and that's in the video here. There's four bots next to each other. So your program can address multiple bots simultaneously using tasking in Ada. Any other questions? Thank you.